today as we come to the table.
The Bible says that we were made in what? The image of God. It doesn't mean we look like God. It means we're made in His image. Even as there's a Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we're made of flesh, blood, and bone, and water, and spirit as well. So we have a Trinity as well going in us. Our person is a Trinity, even as God Himself is a Trinity. Even as we have emotions, where do you think we got those emotions? God gave those emotions. God created love, anger, passion. They're all from God. He has all of those. And as you read through the Bible, you see all of the emotions of God coming out. The difference in God and His anger and us in our anger is God is very gracious and long-suffering.
You've probably heard that we're made in the image of God. You can see that in Genesis 1. But what does that really mean? What does it mean? But what does that really mean? And what all does it entail for you and me to be made in the image of God? In today's message, Pastor Mark will share the ins and outs of being created in the image of God. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. Image can also mean likeness. So, we're also made in the likeness of God. That means we have the same tendencies, possibly the same passions, and we have the same emotions. What makes God sovereign is that He is all-knowing, so His choices and emotions are perfectly just and perfectly timed. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Judges, chapter 2, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
If you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Judges, chapter 2, as we continue on through the book of Judges. And why don't we pray and ask the Lord to bless this and really hear from His heart, and then let's jump into the Word. So let's seek the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we are here before You right now to receive from our God. We have come here, Lord, many of us with our minds may be filled with other things. Some of us may be in a great place of receiving, whatever the case might be. I pray that You get us all on the same playing field right now. Help us, God, to clear our thoughts out of everything else, to focus in on what You would say to the church today by Your Spirit and through Your Word. And I pray, God, that You would just teach us, God. And Lord, as we look at the nation of Israel and how they dealt with living in truth or the consequences that came, God, I pray that we would realize that we as a nation today, as America, we also deal with the same thing. And so, Lord, I pray that You would purify us as a church. I pray You send revival on Your church and restoration to America. And I pray, God, that we would hear the warning and encouragement today, so that we would leave well-balanced, God, not overburdened by, Lord, the warnings You give in the sense of thinking there's no hope, but recognizing with those warnings there's great hope if we will simply respond to Your voice and turn from our sin and back to You. So, Lord, meet us in power, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Maybe you guys remember years back, if you're old enough, you do, there was a game show called Truth or Consequences. Now, again, you're probably dating yourself if you admit that you know when that is, but it was a game show, basically, that was hosted by several different people over many different years, and on the game show, you would go and they would share something with you, and you had to pick whether or not it was truth or whether it was false, and if you missed the answer, whether it's true or false, in just a short amount of time, then you had the consequences. And so they made this big, fun game show out of it called Truth or Consequences. Well, God is also dealing with the nation of Israel in the same way today. And I believe with the nation of America the same way today. And yet it's no game show. It's not all fun. It's not just something you win a reward or you lose your reward in. We're talking life or death as far as a nation goes. And God was dealing with that with the nation of Israel. And God is giving us the same message. You know, it's interesting as I go through Judges, you can see God dealing with them saying, if you live the truth, then I will bless you. And if you don't live the truth, there will be consequences. And the same thing God says to us as believers. He talks about the blessings that we'll have in Deuteronomy 28 if we follow God individually or as a nation. And then he talks about the consequences that we'll have if we don't follow God individually and or as a nation. And so, again, with today comes a lot of warning and comes a lot of encouragement as well. And it's interesting, as I see God leading me into the book of Judges and us studying it, the more we get into it, the more I recognize God's hand and why he sent us through the book of Judges. And why is that? Because this is exactly where God has America today. Or rather, should I say, this is exactly where we have ourselves today. The same place that the children of Israel were in. We have had godly leaders in the past, and now those leaders are gone, and we don't have as many godly leaders. We still have some. But as a nation, we have turned away from God in many ways. In our leadership, sometimes in the church even, and obviously in our leadership, in our state-to-state governments, all the way up to the highest places, there's a lot of ungodliness that is coming in. And the bottom line is, if we don't deal with it properly, the Lord says we will have consequences. And so I'm hoping today that we'll kind of have that balance of the warning from the Lord, but also, before we're done, the encouragement of the Lord if we repent. And that is the good news. I don't want to just focus on the warning that God gives, because I hear God's warning screaming off the pages of Scripture at me this week as I study. But I also want to give the encouragement that there's hope if we turn back to the Lord. But it's pivotal moments in an individual's life, and it's pivotal moments in a nation's life that turns a nation either to a place where God has to send judgment and chastisement, or where God sends refreshment and the power of his Spirit in restoration. And this is where Israel was as we get into the passage today. And this is where we as a nation are. And I know I've said that numerous times. You see, it wasn't a nation when it came to Israel that was simply stumbling and having a struggle in certain areas. They were willfully choosing to sin and shake their fist in God's face and say, "We know what your word says and we don't care." That's where the nation of Israel was. And sadly, that's where some of our nation is today. Not you, not the church, not many even unsaved moral people in America, because they're out there and they disagree with these things. But at the same time, a big portion of our nation, really a small portion, is pushing this whole change of agenda in many different areas, but the masses allow it to take place. And because of that, it sneaks up on us, and we're shocked. You know, it's amazing to think how things can change and how quickly things can change. And sometimes you don't even realize that a nation has changed until you go back and look at the way the nation used to be. And a lot of people will say, "Well, that's because we were, you know, whatever, fogies, and now we've progressed." No, when you look in light of God's word, you see that nations are closer to God, and they gradually fall away if someone doesn't hold them close. You know, I was thinking about it just this week when you look at even just our entertainment in America. If you remember, and you probably, if you were alive at that time, or you know anything about history, America, again, being founded on godly standards and on moral standards, everything morally permeated our society. Everything. Everything we did, God was in it. Everything we were involved in, it was at least moral. If God wasn't mentioned, it was at least moral. And the nation knew we have boundaries that we can't go outside of because we know God's word and God has given us those boundaries. And I think even when movies, remember when the first sound movies began to come to the screen and how shocked everyone was in the very first movie where a cuss word was spoken. Maybe you know the history of it. It was Gone with the Wind. And at the end of the movie, Gone with the Wind, Rhett Butler stands there at the door and says this cuss word, and the nation truly was shocked. People that saw it could not believe that a cuss word was said on a movie screen. The nation talked about it. They debated about it. Should this be allowed? Some that felt like, "Hey, we've been too held back. We need to be free. We need to move forward. We need to be progressive." They were all for it. But the majority of the nation was saying, we can't do this. It's going to corrupt our nation. It's going to corrupt our children. It's going to eventually corrupt our entertainment industry. If we allow it to happen one time here, it may happen two or three times over the next couple of years. It's got to be, you know, stopped now. We were shocked. Now look at how permeating foul language is just in the general society and our entertainment. The same thing was true when it came to sexual activity. You would never mention anything sexual in front of people or maybe on a movie screen. How could that ever happen? How shocked the nation was when the first semi-sex scene, if you will, was shown in a movie. And it caused debates. It caused problems. Should we allow this? Should we not allow it? And the nation was shocked when this took place. Now look at today. If you go and see a movie and there's not multiple cuss words and several sex scenes, you're shocked. It's reversed, hasn't it? I have people say to me, wow, I saw a movie the other day. No cuss words, not a single sex scene. I can take my family to that. I'm just shocked. I mean, I'm pleasantly surprised, but I'm shocked. And I'm thinking, how bizarre is that? Because we used to be shocked when it was there. Now as a nation, we're shocked when it's not. Have we changed? You see, all it takes is looking back at where our nation was and realizing where our nation is and what we now accept as normal. And we realize, guys, things are not as shocking as they used to be, and yet we're farther down the road away from God. This is what the nation of Israel were doing. Remember we said last week they were now worshiping. After Joshua died, they started worshiping the other gods. They started worshiping Baal. They started worshiping Ashtoreth. And remember we talked about Baal was the god of nature. And Ashtoreth was the goddess, if you will, of sex. And so what happened was, as the nation began to turn away from God, they began to lift up the environment and they began to lift up sexual activity. Do you see any parallels here? This is exactly where we are as a nation. And God says in Romans chapter 1, when a people or a nation turns away from me, they're going to start honoring nature above everything else. They'll begin to actually worship it. And they're also going to start lifting up sexual activity and treating it as though that's the thing you need to go for. That's what makes people happy. That's exactly what was happening in the nation of Israel. This is exactly what's happening with our nation today. And so this is what he gets into when he looks at where we are here, starting in verse 14. Now we're going to be doing verses 14 through verse 23. And so the stage was, and the setting was, remember the nation had turned away because Joshua was dead. The godly leadership was gone. Everyone was doing right in their own eyes. And then God again now says, all right, you're going to do this. I'm going to bring in chastisement on you to drive you back. And we take up in verse 14 and notice what it says. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. So he delivered them into the hands of plunderers who despoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies all around so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. This is amazing, guys. A couple things I want to point out. First of all, notice this. God can get very angry. Now, I think sometimes that can be overemphasized. And I've seen before where people historically have used how angry God is at you to try to get you to repent. You know, to maybe bring you to a place of, oh, God's angry at me. I need to repent. And sometimes I think it's been abused in the sense of maybe overusing it as almost a manipulation tactic to get people to repent. But even as the whole movie thing and the shift of what we're shocked in today as compared to what we were shocked in back in 1950, the same thing has happened within the church when it comes to understanding about God's love and about God's righteousness and the emotions that God has. I think now we err on the side oftentimes so much of speaking of God's love, which God is love, and we will always talk about God's love, we forget the fact that God does get angry. God doesn't get angry, he's God. Listen, where do you think you got the emotions that you have? The Bible says that we were made in what? The image of God. It doesn't mean we look like God. It means we're made in his image. Even as there's a Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we're made of flesh, blood, and bone, water, and spirit as well. So we have a Trinity as well going in us. Our person is a Trinity, even as God himself is a Trinity. Even as we have emotions, where do you think we got those emotions? God gave those emotions. God created love, anger, passion. They're all from God. He has all of those. And as you read through the Bible, you see all of the emotions of God coming out. The difference in God and his anger and us in our anger is God is very gracious and long-suffering. That means when I get mad, I snap and something bad happens. When God gets mad, he waits and he waits and he waits and he waits and he sends messages and he tries to bring people back. And then even God at some point says, that's enough, and God brings judgment. And this is a side of God we don't often see or hear about today because the softer side of God is emphasized. And don't get me wrong, we need to emphasize God's love. I believe that God would have us want to be focused more on his love than any other attribute because God is love. But we also need to realize that God can also get angry when a people or a nation persistently shake their fist in his face. And this, again, is what the children of Israel were doing. This is why God is angry. It wasn't like they were stumbling. It wasn't like they were struggling in the same thing and really trying. They were saying, we don't care what your word says. We're going to do what we want. And that's what concerns me for our nation today, even with this upcoming trial with the Supreme Court. Because rather than simply struggling to find out what's right, what's wrong, seeking counsel, crying out to God, we're trying to make laws to make everyone go against God and go directly against the word of God. That's shaking the fist in the face of God. And that's when God gets angry in Scripture, when mankind does these type of things. You know, when people come in to me and they say, Pastor Mark, I'm really struggling in this sin, and I need you to pray with me about it, you know, and I can see they're torn apart by it. It's ripping their life apart. Please pray. We pray. We say, Lord, you know, please deliver them. God have mercy. And even if they come back that next week, I'm still just, I did it again. Please pray with me. But I see they're tormented and they're crying out. That's a stumble. I pray with them and I help them and we work together to see that God will set them free. But if I see somebody that is confronted with the word of God and they say, look, I don't care what your Bible says, I'm going to do what I want regardless. That's the kind of person, guys, that there's not a lot of grace for. There's not a lot of compassion for. There's not a lot of mercy for that person because they're willfully rejecting God and saying, God, we want nothing to do with you. This right here is what is happening in the nation of Israel. And notice it says that his anger was, he had anger, and it uses the word, he was hot with anger, it describes it. That's very interesting to me because, again, it means basically flaring nostrils. Flaring nostrils or hot means scorching and burning. You ever seen somebody with their nostrils flare when they're mad? You ever seen them scorching angry where they can't seem to control themselves? The Lord wasn't just a little angry about this behavior. We can see they had pushed God so hard and so long that now God was actually furious. And I'm glad that when God is furious, he is measured in his fury because he is. But at the same time, we need to realize that we can push God to that place. And notice he says they could no longer stand before their enemies. They were plundered. It's interesting here. The result of the consequence of the Lord getting angry with them was they were plundered and they were sold to their enemies. Now, this is interesting to me because plundered here means basically God allowed their things to be taken away. In other words, the blessings that God had given, God basically said, now they're going to be gone. I gave those blessings, and now I can take them away, and I will do that. Guys, that's exactly what was happening with the nation of Israel, and that's exactly what's happening with our nation today. What do I mean? Guys, we have been blessed by God because of our founding fathers and our nation honoring God, at least until recent, the last one or two generations, that God has made us the strongest economic power in the world. Listen, don't be deceived. God did this. The Bible says God raises a nation up and God brings a nation down. And I'm not saying America was perfect. Nobody's making that argument. But the bottom line is because we honored him in our imperfection, God raised us up. Now look at our nation as we have decided to turn away from God. And now we have a generation that is going a complete opposite direction of God. And even court cases, all of a sudden we find ourselves in the midst of a nation that not only is hurting economically, but has $19 trillion in debt. And some even saying it would be impossible to ever even pay that back, that at some point what we owe in interest is going to be more than what we can even pay on the loan, so to speak. And now much of America, whether you realize this or not, is owned by China because of loans from China. Much of American land, which many of you probably don't know, do your research, is actually owned by Russia. Russia's buying up American property. God says that is exactly what will happen to a nation that turns from me. He says, I will allow them to be plundered. He also says, I will begin to turn their nation over to another people. Do you see an influx in immigration? Do you see a push in this area? Listen, I'm all for immigration. This is not a political speech. I'm looking at the spiritual side. God says this, if you turn from me as a nation, I'll begin to bring in more foreigners and turn it over to them. If you turn from me as a nation, I'll begin to take away your economic wealth. I'll begin to plunder it and give it to others. If you turn from me, I'll bring calamity in all that you do. I'll become angry at you. And instead of defending you and there being fear of other nations of you in their heart, they're not going to fear you at all. This is exactly what was happening to the nation of Israel. And this is exactly what's happening to us. Notice he said he'd sold them into the enemy's hand. What it means is that the people around them were no longer afraid of them. When God brought them in the land, the Bible says God put a fear around them. And then as they begin to disobey God, God began to remove that fear. Guys, again, the same thing is happening with our nation. We used to be a nation that was feared around the world. People were afraid to mess with America. Now we have Russian fighter jets flying over the top of our carriers and scraping them, mocking us, making fun of us. We have nations that are basically taking our equipment now over the Middle East and taking over regions of the Middle East that we used to, that we had delivered and set free for other peoples. Now they're coming in and taking it back at free will, and we're doing nothing about it. And they don't fear that we will. This is the sign of a nation that is in retreat because God is removing his hand of blessing. So this has nothing to do. A lot of people want to blame politicians. A lot of people want to blame this and blame that. This has nothing to do with that. That certainly plays into it depending on where we are as a nation, and that's reflective of where we are as a nation. But we need to understand as a church and as a nation, guys, this is God dealing with America. What is happening is the Lord doing this. And he's trying to get our attention, and he's trying to wake us up. And this is exactly what he was doing again with the nation of Israel. Notice it says in verse 15, wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were greatly distressed. Again, notice he says, wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity, and they had great distress. Does anyone feel calamity and especially distress about where our nation is today? Feeling distress about the nation you're in is another sign that God is bringing chastisement in on the nation. You know, it's interesting. A good father and a good mother knows how to chastise their kids. I know what works with my kids for the most part. And I learned off the bat that if I give the same chastisement for all of them, it didn't really have any effect. If I was to say to one of them, you can't read for, 3 days or a week. If you do that, you have to put the book down. They'll be devastated. I can't read. I've got to read, right? If I told that to another one, they'd be saying, thank you. I don't read anyway, so bring it on. Let the consequences come. Who wants to read, right? But I know what they like. If I say, all right, you can't do this or you can't do that, or you can't whatever, watch movies for 3 days or whatever the case might be. Whatever the discipline might be, on that child, you know that child, and it brings in the pain that is necessary to get the response that's needed, and they respond. God does the same thing to America, even as he was doing to the nation of Israel. God knows that we like our lifestyle. He knows that we like our freedom. And if you'll notice, our lifestyle is slowly slipping away from us as Americans, economically and in other ways, and so are our freedoms. Guys, why is that? The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We'll be celebrating here on the 4th of July. Why did we celebrate that? Because God blessed us and his Spirit was welcome here, and God gave us liberty as a nation. Now that we're turning away from God, we're seeing our liberties disappear one after another, and it's happening gradually, just like the whole movie thing back and forth. We didn't even recognize what's going on. But guys, it's the hand of God. And why is God doing this? Because God allows oppression to come in on a people that turn from him, so they'll turn back. It's a good father saying, you know what? No movies for a few days. You can't read for a while. He starts to do it gradually, and if we don't respond to God's chastisement, God turns up the heat. And so we have to be recognizing what God is doing. But here's the thing we have to realize as well. As I said, there's a balance to this. There's the soberness and there's the seriousness of the fact that God brings in chastisement on a nation that turns away from him like he did to Israel, like I believe he's doing to America. But we also have the good side where there's hope in the Lord, because again, as any good father, he's bringing the consequences to drive us back to him so that he can bless us. In other words, if we run back to the Lord, if we repent, the blessings of God will once again be poured out on us as a nation.
Thank you for joining us today in this interesting passage of Judges. Here on Come to the Table, Pastor Mark Kirk is working his way through this Old Testament book. And there are lessons for us to learn from these people who lived during that time. Samson is one of the last judges mentioned in this book, and he had quite a tale. He was meant to live as a Nazarite, committing himself to the Lord and the Lord's things. But he had a straying eye that led him straight to all the wrong women. He was drawn toward Philistine women, who tricked him more than once, and ultimately led to his downfall. But did you know that God mentioned Samson in the book of Hebrews, when he refers to many people who had great faith? When you think of the faith heroes of the Bible, Samson is probably not going to make your short list, right? But in God's eyes, he sees things differently. That should be an encouragement for you today, as you may not see yourself as anything, but God sees you differently and uniquely. He recognizes strengths in you that you may not even be able to observe from your perspective. Keep these things in mind today as you go about the day, whether you feel purposeful in what you're doing or if you're wondering what in the world God is doing. He's there with you, and He is for you, excited to see your faith lived out. That's all for today's teaching, but we invite you to go to thewaymedia.net, where you can be directed to our church's service times. Just click on the Calvary Knoxville link. Once more, our website is thewaymedia.net. We look forward to you joining us again for Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.